Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When Judas gave Jesus that fateful kiss, he was helping those who wanted to kill the Son of God. The enemies of Christ unwittingly made our redemption possible. Today, we continue a series simply called For Us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, the second of five sermons on the dramatic events marking the death and resurrection of Jesus. We'll meet Judas, of whom it was said it would have been better for him if he had not been born.
It was God's will that Jesus live a very painful life and die an agonizing death. Almost everything that happened to Jesus was predicted in the Old Testament. For example, in the book of Psalms, it says that Jesus would be rejected by evil people. And Jesus affirmed that when he said that the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. It was also predicted that Jesus would be hated, and Jesus quotes that psalm and says, "It is necessary that the scriptures be fulfilled, that they hated me without a cause." And it was also predicted in Psalm 35 that Jesus would experience the pain of betrayal from a very close friend. Indeed, the very man with whom I eat and the one who has eaten bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. And that was fulfilled in the life of Jesus, just as predicted. And the person who did the betrayal is known throughout history, and his name is Judas. I'm going to give you a theological statement that I want you to think about. It's one that you could remember and chew on even on your way home today. I want to say that theologically, God chose Judas to volunteer to do the ghastly deed. God was involved and Judas was involved. God chose Judas to volunteer to be the man to do it. Who was this man, Judas? A number of years ago, there was the special that was put on by National Geographic. And Judas was portrayed in very wonderful colors, that he was really a hero, according to the Judas document. And the media, of course, played it up and said that the Judas document is authentic. What they didn't explain was that by authentic, they meant that it was indeed an ancient document. It was known far back in history as the year 185. But authentic did not mean that its contents were true. Indeed, the Gnostics made up these stories, and from that standpoint, it is very clear that the story of Judas as portrayed there is fraudulent. Judas cannot be made into a hero. In the Bible, he is spoken of as a traitor and the one who betrayed Jesus. Judas became guilty of what John Piper calls the most spectacular sin that has ever been committed in contributing to the murder of the Holy Son of God. Judas's last name, Judas Iscariot, means that he came from a place, probably Kiroth, which is in southern Judah. And I've often thought of the mother of Judas as she held that little baby boy in her arms. She had no idea whom she was holding, did she? As a matter of fact, you don't know who you are holding in your arms either. You don't know whether you are holding someone who is going to turn out to be an evil person or a good person. But this dear mother, as she held that baby boy and wished for him the best, did not know that she held a boy who had become famous around the world for 2,000 years, famous for betrayal, intrigue, greed, and the most horrific of all sins. We don't know where Jesus and Judas met. It's possible that they met when Jesus was in the southern part of the land. And I can imagine Jesus being invited to be a part of Christ's disciples. Remember, Jesus prayed all night and chose 12, and among them was Judas Iscariot. It was an honor in those days to be considered to be invited by a rabbi as an itinerant evangelist, if you please, and to learn from him and to watch with him and to be able to eat with him. And the groups would sleep together out in the beautiful starlit countrysides. It was an honor. And I can imagine that when Judas was chosen, he thought to himself, what a great opportunity for me to advance myself. Think of the story that I'm going to be able to tell the kids back home, the ones that I went to school with, that at last Jesus of Nazareth chooses Judas to be one of his disciples. And so Judas was chosen. You can take your Bibles today and turn to the 14th chapter of the book of Mark, Mark chapter 14. As you know, this is a series of messages titled For Us, and today, Jesus Betrayed for Us. And so even though your Bible is open, we will be looking at this passage a little later on. What I need to do is to go to other passages of Scripture to build the total story of who Judas really was and the story of his betrayal. So as we move through this, know that I'll be referencing other verses to give you the fuller picture. If we were to describe Judas, one of the characteristics is that he had a covetous heart. To put it clearly, Judas loved money. There's an interesting story in John chapter 12. Jesus is there with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Mary, because of her overwhelming love for Jesus, she takes costly ointment, perhaps several years of wages. In fact, that was kind of the way in which people kept something that was a treasure as a hedge against inflation. And she took this box of ointment, pure nard, the Bible says. And she broke it open and she poured it on the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And Judas, the Bible says, said, could not this money have been sold? Could not this have been sold and the money given to the poor? And then John adds very interestingly, but this Judas said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money bag and he pilfered from it. Isn't that amazing? The treasurer for the disciples is a thief. And when he was sent to buy something, he said that it cost, in our money we might say, $35, and actually it only cost $20, and he pocketed the rest. He was a lover of money. And he was such a skillful hypocrite that for 3 years all of this is happening and nobody is suspecting that there is anything that is seriously wrong. Amazing what Judas was able to do. In Acts chapter 1, Peter said that Judas had a ministry with us. You know what that means? That means when the disciples cast out demons, Judas was able to do it too. Very probably the demons cooperating. When the disciples preached a sermon, Judas stood up there and he preached a sermon too. And when they performed miracles, he was able to do it, the same miracles in the name of Jesus. He did the very same thing. He was a part of Jesus Christ's disciples, and he functioned like that and was never put off by Jesus, never ashamed of Jesus, so far as we know. And he played the game with such skill. Judas was one who outwardly for 3 years, for the most part, had the behavior of a saint, but inwardly had the heart of a devil. You see, what makes this so scary is that Judas was not the kind of person who comes into a service late, sits in the back row, and I'm looking at those of you who are there now, by the way. He was not the kind of person who did that and then leaves before the benediction. No. He's the Sunday school teacher. He's the deacon. He's the elder. Maybe he's even the pastor. And nobody knows what is in his heart. Judas was covetous. He was a lover of money. Now, a second characteristic of his heart was he had a very deceitful mind. Let me speak to you very candidly today. Most of us think that we are rational people. We think, you know, I go by reason. Well, that's not true. Most of us are desire-driven. And whatever the heart desires, the mind is recruited to bring it about. You desire something like sexual gratification, the mind is commissioned to somehow arrange circumstances to fulfill that, whether honorably or dishonorably. The heart wants what it wants. And when it comes to money, the mind is recruited to figure out a way how to make it. And whether it can be made honorably, that's good, but dishonorably if necessary, but it all means get it. And Judas had a heart for money. Now you remember in the life of Jesus, the chief priests were looking for someone to betray Jesus. And they were looking for someone who probably was part of the inner circle. Because they didn't want to arrest Jesus in the day, they wanted to arrest him at nighttime, after dark. And so they thought to themselves that if we could find someone who knows Jesus well and knows where he would be and can identify him for us in the twilight, then we can catch him. Judas, in his heart, knew that they were looking for someone, and he volunteered for the job. But before he did, he went up to the upper room with Jesus. What an amazing story. And Jesus had all the disciples sitting there and said to them, "One of you is going to betray me." And to the everlasting credit of these disciples, they all went around the table and said, "Is it I?" And that's the question I should be asking today, and that's the question you should be asking. Is it I? Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and certainly the disciples asked a question that all of us should be asking. Is it I, Lord? I've thought an awful lot about Judas. Of course, I've preached on him from time to time, pondered his life. You know, when he was a baby, growing up, his mother had no idea that the baby she held in her arms would be known around the world as someone who betrayed the Son of God. And I say with a very heavy heart that the seeds of Judas's rebellion lie in all of us. But for the grace of God, there we go. I want to thank you so much for joining us, and please continue to listen to Running to Win as we talk about the agony that Jesus went through on our behalf.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing Jesus Betrayed for Us, the second message in a series called For Us. Next time, more on how the Jews plotted with the Romans to snatch Jesus and put him on the cross. For Us is a 5-part series we'd like you to have on CD. It's our gift to you in gratitude for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.